You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. He joins me now to talk about the ongoing debate on Capitol Hill about whether the auto industry ought to be bailed out, and if so, in what form. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
You represent a district in a Rust Belt state, an area that's obviously been hit by the manufacturing job losses. It's a big part of the auto industry. Where do you stand right now on the dilemma the industry faces and the best solution for it?
Well, actually, you're right, Greg. Our district, of the 435, we're 16th in number of manufacturing jobs in the country. We got a Ford plant, we got a GM plant, but we also have two of Honda's assembly plants in our district. So we got a real automotive presence, obviously, in the 4th District in West Central and North Central Ohio. But this is a bad idea. I mean, look, it's a bad idea for, I think, three main reasons. First and foremost is once you start down this road, it's tough to turn back. We've seen that with Fannie and Freddie, with AIG, and now they're back in line with the $700 billion bailout that started. First of all, you know, we're gonna go buy up the toxic assets, and then we said, no, we're just going to go buy stock and bank. You know, once you start down this and you open this can of worms, it's tough to close it. Second, it doesn't work. Industries never have to really deal with the fundamental questions and fundamental concerns and fundamental issues if taxpayers continue to give them money. And then I think the third reason, and this one is the most important and unfortunate, I think it gets lost in the debate too often, but in the end, the moral responsibility we have to not turn over to future generations of Americans the kind of debt we're now beginning to saddle them with is serious, and we have got to take it that way, and not say to our kids and grandkids, oh, by the way, we're going to run the largest deficit in history on top of the $10 trillion debt we currently have. So for those two reasons, you just cannot travel down this road, and that's why I'm against it, even though we have a district that is so focused on manufacturing.
Oh, then what course would you prescribe? We know the White House has said there's a $25 billion fund set aside for, supposed to be set aside for anyway, technological renovation of the auto industry. Others say, no, let the market sort itself out, even if that means some hard times in the auto industry. What's your best prescription?
Well, I had a coach in high school. He said, discipline's doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it. And basically that meant doing it his way when you'd rather do it your way, doing it the right way when you'd rather do it the convenient way. The easiest thing for us to do is take taxpayer money and say, oh, here you go, and let's get through this time, and put off the tough decisions. That's the easy thing to do. The tough love approach is to say, let's look for other ways we can help our economy, other ways we can help the automotive industry, short of taking taxpayer dollars and just handing it out to the big three automakers. And what that means is the things we've always talked about, a reduction in the tax burden, an energy policy that makes sense. We all know one of the reasons that the GM and Ford are hurting is they're so into the heavy truck and SUV vehicles that with the price of fuel and price of energy over the last year and a half, it's been difficult. So there are things we can do that are going to help the automotive industry that I've supported. That's where we got to put our emphasis, not on saying to the – and I think this is a great point – not on saying to the worker at one of the Honda plants that makes $43 in wages and benefits an hour, saying we're going to take your tax dollars and give it to the General Motors where the average employee makes $75 in wages and benefits an hour. We're going to take the money from the Honda worker and give it to you. That's the wrong approach. The right approach is let's structure a framework that says, look, we're going to have a common sense energy policy. We're going to look on ways to keep the tax burden as low as we possibly can so that you can compete and you can get back on your feet and have and your business can begin to grow in the future.
Do you agree or disagree, Congressman, with the assertion that the auto industry can't go through the type of restructuring in a bankruptcy-type format that airlines and other industries do because those types of industries, such as the airline industry, will continue to have customers throughout that restructuring process, whereas the auto industry doesn't necessarily have that guarantee? And there are some who say your approach may be right, but this is such an urgent situation. How do we deal with it?
I don't think we know that for sure, but what we do know for sure is government handouts don't work. We know that. So that's why I'm advocating let's do things that are going to help energy-wise, taxpayer-wise, regulation-wise. I mean, the other thing that's hurt the big three is this whole CAFE standard that they now have to meet. We understand that. So we do know what doesn't work, and that's exactly what's being proposed as a policy. That's why we shouldn't go down that road.
Another thing that I know that some are concerned about is the environmental, and you already talked about the CAFE standards just now, environmental restrictions and many more on top of what already exist as far as strings attached to this money that could potentially be coming from Congress. How concerned are you about that?
Very concerned. I mean, look, come January, you know, they're going to move down this road of more and more environmental regulations placed on all industry, not just the automotive industry, but all industry, whether it's the coal cap and trade concept that they wanted, that many in Congress are wanting to do. I'm very nervous about that, as well as the other issue that impacts this whole thing, the card check issue and giving additional powers to organized labor. I mean, all those things are a concern when you think about, in the big picture sense, you think about where our economy needs to go. And so I'm very nervous about those, and we'll be you know, doing everything I can to stop and argue against going in that direction.
Well, what do you see happening here, Congressman, in the lame duck session? A lot of people don't think anything's going to happen until the new Congress is in. What do you suspect?
I think that's likely nothing happens. And, you know, the old cliche is probably true. When Congress isn't in session and isn't doing anything, taxpayer wallets are safer. And that'll certainly be true this week if we don't do this bailout plan. I don't think much is likely to happen this week. I think the you'll see something, at least based on what we're hearing, in January, and we'll be fighting it then.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Very good of you to spend some time with us today, sir.
Great. Appreciate
it.
Thanks so much.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, this is Dateline Washington.